Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And if you're all there, give a big amen. Very good. Okay, now one more thing. We stand generally for the honoring of God's word, but if that's difficult for you, please don't do it. If you're able to stand up, would you stand with us as I read these verses? Verse 26 through 38, let's read. Luke 1, verse 26 through 38, in the message entitled, "The God of the Impossible." In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Once more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Verse 37, "For the word of God will never fail." I want you to say that with me. "For the word of God will," try it again one more time with all your heart. "For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. Father, move in power. Thank you for this amazing school, the very first year, and the excellence and the miracles we see in learning, the breakthrough we see in every area. We stand in awe and give you all the credit. You're wonderful. What was impossible, and people said you cannot do that in such a short period of time, you did. Through the hard work and grit of an amazing staff and a church that prays and a people that would believe. I thank you for all the parents and families represented and all the students as well. May this word change us. And may the effects of it be far-reaching even to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, "With God, nothing's impossible." Come on. Wonderful. You may be seated. I preach a lot of Christmas messages during the holiday season and have done so for some 25 years. I remember reading this text a number of years ago where it was as if these words jumped right off the page. I was reading it in a different version than when I read it to you in. There's a lot of wonderful versions of the Bible, and there's some versions that you should not be read, but the New Living Translation is a wonderful version. It's in more of today's English. It says there at the bottom, and I had you read it, "For the word of God will never fail." The word of God will never fail. That is a little bit different in some texts and in the original language, depending upon which text you look at. It's just a little bit different. It can also mean "for nothing is impossible with God." It's the same meaning. No word of God will ever fail. With God, nothing's impossible. This is the meaning of Christmas, right in your notes. This is what? The meaning of Christmas. It is the Christmas story. How is it that a virgin would bring forth a child? That's impossible, yet Isaiah prophesied it. And over and over and over, we see Scripture coming to pass in the first advent or the first coming of Christ. And it's a much needed for our woke culture. It's a much needed message for our woke our woke culture. I mean, this encapsulating the Christmas story with God, nothing's impossible. Certainly for Mary, she was like, yeah, that's impossible. Right. But with God, nothing is. And this is a much needed message for our woke culture. Woke culture, if I can just define it, its earliest usage of woke really means to be awake. To be awake, meaning to be aware and alert of social injustices, particularly racism and systemic oppression. That's a good thing, to be aware of that and to combat against that. But it went woke, it went broke. It's not just awake, it totally went off the rails and was hijacked by some people that, well, I think they were prejudiced, honestly. And now you've got this woke cancel culture, pardon me. The A, B, C, D, E, F, G, plus. They put plus because they're going to add some other things. It has become, the woke agenda has come to be an agenda that is politically correct and unoffensive, and really it's attempted to reshape our nation and reshape the world, where boys can choose to be girls and girls can choose to be boys, and that is just simply inaccurate, not true. We're not God. And so there was an outcry from the community to my ears, and I believe to the ears of God. Pastor Karen calls it a moral outcry, just from the people of Kings, the community also, but just from the people of Kings. I had people with tears running down their face say, please, Pastor, do something. Do something. And so we did. Endeavor to obey God. And this school was birthed miraculously. And to tell you the whole story would take too much time. But he miraculously brought the McKenzies together and brought us here at Kings and began to birth this school. A powerful school. In a world gripped by skepticism, anxiety, confusion, the promise of God, who's able to overcome anything, that with God, nothing's impossible. Can our nation turn back to God? The absolutely, emphatically, 100% yes. As we saw a red wave sweep across America, whether you're for Donald Trump or not, it showed evidence that clearly America wants a change. And it's like a moral outcry that's taken place, and this school has really been birthed out of that. And we unashamedly are preaching and teaching God's word at the school. Unashamedly pray, unashamedly worship, unashamedly spirit-filled, unashamedly with the gifts and the power of the Spirit of God, declaring the kingdom of God is at hand, unashamed. And right out front, we tell everybody it's not some hidden agenda. It is the agenda, actually. Because education is not the end of the matter. It's educating people so they can fulfill their destiny and purpose. That's why you educate. You missed a great place to say amen or something. Because if you educate people and they don't serve and fulfill the call of God on their life, what have you actually done? So it's a corrective message in a secular world. The secular worldview leads to two opinions, basically: fantasy and despondency. Fantasy, escaping from reality with all kinds of shallow distractions. There's so many people living a fantasy world. That is not what God wants us to have. Despondency is just dropping out of life, hopeless, despair. I've been there in my life many, many, many years ago before Christ. I was despondent and hopeless. But this message that with God nothing's impossible brings hope to the hopeless. It brings strength to the weary. God and his word must be our focus as we find our fulfillment as we live for him. We're redefining education here at KCSA, a Christ-centered curriculum, academic excellence, spiritual growth, focusing on purpose and calling. You said, Pastor, what are you talking about? They're third graders. Well, that's where it starts. And we will have a full-blown high school. And who knows all that the Lord will do. It's a very, very important time for our nation and an important time for these students. And I commend you and honor you for trusting us with your children. It's a high honor which we take the utmost importance. And God speaking to me and my wife just at the start of this year and said this to me very clearly. The King's Christian School is one of the most important things you'll do in your whole life. I'm 58. I feel like I'm 25. But my ears perked up to say, excuse me? It is one of the most important things you will do because this school will be here far beyond my lifetime, should the Lord tarry. This building will be here far beyond our lifetime, should the Lord tarry. And we need another facility because as big as this one is, it does not fit the size school that God wants to build. All right, how do we allow God's power to be demonstrated in the world? We've seen God's power demonstrated in the school, certainly in the church, perhaps in your own life. I hope so. And if not, maybe this will help you to see his power demonstrated because that's what he wants to do. The first thing is find favor with God. Find favor with God. Mary is highly favored. Our relationship with God begins with grace, unmerited favor. And surrender to God's will. That's what Mary did. Surrender to God's will. You know, in the raising of children, they need to surrender and yield to your will, which I hope is aligned with God's will. But if you ever raise a child who doesn't learn to submit their will to the will of authority, then you're going to end up raising someone who'll be ripe for going to prison. I love prison ministry. We have a vibrant prison ministry, but I don't want you on it if you know what I'm talking about. And I certainly don't want our children in it. Mary surrendered to the Lord. I've shared this about my son even recently, but we made him eat green leafy vegetables, even though he hated them. Of course, he had never had any before he hated them, but he hated them nonetheless. Did not want to eat lettuce, did not want to eat salad or any other green thing. And I humorously say, but it's also true, that we made him eat those green leafy vegetables because I wasn't going to have him smoking green leafy weed. Right. Now, if you don't understand that, let me just break it down for you, that if a child, and including you, if you don't learn to put your flesh down, then you'll yield to whatever your fallen human nature wants. So Minister Daniel, who is leading on the keys tonight, submitted to the will of his father and mother, had a first bite of lettuce, and promptly rejected it by running to the bathroom and throwing up. And we didn't force him to eat it thereafter, and then he became a lover of salad. He learned to submit his will. Have you learned to submit your will? These students are learning to submit to God and to you. It's amazing the testimonies I hear from parents. We had just a few tonight, but there's so many more testimonies of healing. And I had one family pull me aside and say, Pastor, I want to thank you. They had tears in their eyes and said, I want to thank you. Our child comes home and wants to lead prayer at dinner. That has never happened before. And again, students that came in that didn't know their alphabet and in a very short period of time, miraculously, are reading at, you know, second grade level, jumped grades ahead, miraculously. In your notes, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, the angel declared, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, enabling the impossible. How is this possible? He says, well, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The school has been birthed and will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. You pray for Headmaster Susie and her husband. You pray for them. You cover them in prayer. You pray for all of our teachers. And as we add grades, we're going to have to add more and more teachers. You pray that God gives us wisdom in hiring. We didn't just hire people. We prayed over them, fasted over them, selected them, based upon their education and on and on and on, and their walk with God. We do not have teachers that are bringing in some broken, ridiculous agenda here. And we never will. That moral outcry that I told you, Pastor Karen called it a moral outcry, that first year we very quickly, there was some crazy story hour that was brought to Palmer, and some students had to go to it, and parents came and said, please do something. We quickly gathered people. Do you remember that, Pastor Kirsten? We quickly made an announcement, and within 2 weeks or so, we had 250 people show up and say, please do something. We're in. We'll do it. We'll be a part of it. And we tried to get it together, but we were also finishing this building at the same time. I was also taking a full-loaded college. What a year. Take a full-loaded university, finish the building facility, start a school. Well, it was the very beginning, and we didn't get to launch it. But soon thereafter, God spoke, and Susie McKenzie came. And we're here tonight because of her diligent hard work, the grace of God, amazing, amazing teachers, and your willingness and your trust that we would do the very best with your students. And I commend you. I think we ought to give God a hand clap of praise. It's a miracle. It was impossible, but God did it. And more is ahead. The best is just around the corner, in fact. Be encouraged by what God has done through others. Be encouraged by what God has done through other people. You see that the angel says, Elizabeth, you thought she was barren. She was. She's not barren anymore. She's, what? Nobody knew. And so she goes to find Elizabeth. You know, everyone needs an Elizabeth. Do you know what I mean by that? When you have a dream, when you have a hope, when you have a promise, when you have something from God that seems like impossible, you must find your Elizabeth. You must find somebody to connect with, to share that with. And I've shared pearls and visions and dreams and that which is impossible in the natural, and I've shared it in the wrong place and had people laugh at me. It's a hurtful thing to be have pearls from God trampled over the foot of unbelieving carnal men. We didn't take a survey about whether we should start the school. We had a word from God. That's why the school's here. Everything we've done, that's how we do it. We get a word, we obey. We just endeavor to obey. We get a green light from God and we do everything. Grit, I think you called it. Perseverance, unrelenting, contending, believing, knowing that no word from God will fail. No word from God will fail. Your kids are learning that. There's a congregation that's learning it. There's people that are learning it. It is the Christmas message. Believe. The key is faith to unlock the impossible. As Jesus said, all things are possible to the one who believes. Mark 9:23. Believe. So I'm challenged by the word, and I'm challenged by it. I challenge you with it too on this beautiful night where we celebrate your children and the King's Christian School and the greatest holiday all the year long, most celebrated holiday around the world is Christmas. There's no other holiday that is more celebrated than Christmas, the birth of Christ. I'm challenged by it. I'm challenged by it to pray more. I'm challenged by it to pray more. In January, we'll be doing 21 days of prayer and fasting, talking with some who said, God spoke to me to do a 40-day fast. Well, God bless you. We'll be doing a 21-day fast currently, unless that changes. We fast and pray. We're going to teach the kids to fast and pray. They need to eat. Yeah, but they can put the TV off. They can turn off the TV. They can put down the device. Hello. There's different things you can fast besides just food. And if you look at the attitude as it talks about what true fasting is in Isaiah, it has nothing to do with food. It has everything to do with the attitude of the heart. You can skip food and still be a jerk, and you're not really fasting. I'm going to pray more because prayer moves the hand of omnipotence. We will see this school become a full-blown high school. Listen to me, listen closely. I'm prophesying to you. I'm telling you what God's gonna do. Just like we stood in that little building in Lucille and we pointed up to some random place up on the hill, we will have a building, and now we're in it. I'm telling you, the same is true, that we will see a high school that will impact the state of Alaska. It'll be more than impact the state of Alaska. It'll impact other schools around America. There's already things in the works where we're seeing that happening. We are redefining education. What do you mean? Bringing Christ back to the center of the school, the Bible back to school, prayer back to school. Yes, the finest mathematics. Yes, the finest education and reading. One of the things that's so moving for me is when, as I grew up, I was dyslexic. I just would reverse letters all over. I got left back in second grade. It was a very painful time for me where the enemy whispered and told me I was stupid. I had all the evidence of how I was stupid, but in my heart, I knew I wasn't. They know a lot more now, but back as I went to school, it was almost torture to go through the reading programs and the different things that they had. And to see students coming in that couldn't read, that now can read, and are being rescued from a world of perversion and a woke culture that'll ram their agenda down the throat in our public school system. Now, I hope to change that too. In the name of Jesus, we hope to change that also. We've got people on the library board trying to get, did you know that kids can go and pick books out of the library right now to learn about things that you would be absolutely horrified to learn? And they can pull the things out, learn how to do it, learn what it's about, learn how to expertise in particular things that are absolutely an abomination before God. Well, we need an awakening in America. The school is part of the awakening. I see sports teams. I see a football team. I see track and cross country. I see volleyball teams. I see students learning character and integrity and spiritual fortitude. I see them really learning God's word, knowing God, God's voice, and going into the highways and byways. I see them being raised up. The bar has been so low, but no longer. There's hope. He said it's impossible. No, it isn't. Because with God, nothing's impossible. No word from God will ever fail. He's going to raise up this school, and he's going to help us to find the right teachers, and it's going to expand. Maybe we'll have other campuses even in the state. I don't know all that God's going to do. Now, we're on a clock here with this school. It'll grow as fast as we have space for it. Honestly, word's getting out. And I'm glad for that, but we're going to pray more. We're going to take steps of faith back in your notes. Do what? Take steps of faith. Like what? Like we're looking for what the next step is for the school. What do you mean next step? Well, I mean, we could have it here for one more year, but after that, we're out of space. So literally at this time, we're starting to look for God. What is the next steps? You know, it could be that God will give us land that's really close by, so that we can build a building. I believe God's going to give us a school that has 500 students in it. Now just brace yourself. Hold on to the bottom of your chair for just a moment. We did the math on that. That's a building that's approximately the same size as this one. How in God's name? Exactly, in God's name, because with God, nothing is impossible. The school is its own separate corporation under the umbrella of the church, as its own 501c3 under the umbrella of King's Cathedral and Chapels, Alaska. And there are people lining up. There are grants. There is resources. There is always enough to do what God called you to do. And if you just look with small-mindedness and a myopic view that, oh, well, I guess we can only have a school. Stop. Can anything good come from Nazareth? We can change the world from Alaska. I'm casting vision to you right now. We will see these next steps come forth. And we're going to have to take steps of faith as a school. Got to take steps of faith. Parents, I'm going to ask you to take steps of faith. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead. Pass this out. I want this in the hand of every single person here. Take a big old stack and pass them out, if you would. Pass them to everybody. Check this out. Redefining education for our students. I saw it. You put it up before. Put it up again, young man. Thank you, Mr. Media. Redefining education for our students. Bringing Jesus back into the classroom. Raising the standards academically. Preparing our students for their future. Do you have the slide? Sorry to put you on the spot, but I did see it go up earlier. For just a millisecond, but I saw it, which means it's there somewhere. I was looking at these students. And somebody give me a thumbs up when it's behind me because I can't see. I was looking at these students that are up front and I saw them playing instruments. A music department. What I'm telling you is King's Christian School is not going to be some duct tape, half-hearted, lame sauce thing that just sort of hopes we make it for next year. God has more than enough, and we're gonna see it come to pass. It's going to happen. It is gonna happen. And he causes us to take some steps of faith. Hey, praise the Lord. You can enroll tonight online. You know, I think we're gonna end up with a boarding school. But we really need a boarding school. Well, that won't be next year. Amen. You're like, oh, in the name of Jesus. You can register tonight. You get one of these, take it home, pin it, put it on your fridge, put a magnet on it, and just slap your hand on that every time you go in there, which is frequently for many of us. And say, oh, God, bless the school. Lord, give us the next steps. Lord, give us the building of the city. I see fields, sport fields. I see a gymnasium. Oh, I see a mighty school. Lastly, in my notes, and if you'd leave that up there for me, please. It challenges me not only to pray more, but take steps of faith. It challenged me to get my hopes up. The message of Christmas is one of hope. With God, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. There's no hopeless student. There's no hopeless marriage. There's no hopeless child. There's no hopeless family. No, not one. There's no hopelessness in God. Corrie Ten Boom, who spent time at a Nazi concentration camp. She's gone on to be with Jesus many years ago now. She said this, there are no hopeless situations, only people who've grown hopeless. She said that there's no pit that you might have fallen in that God is not deeper still. We're going to teach the students that. We're raising up an army out of the King's Christian School to go into all the areas of influence, commerce, marketplace, business, politics, education, the church, all the areas of influence with grounding, being rooted in the Word of God, holy, righteous, pure standard, character, redefining education. We'll be right back.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.